This is Living Real Radio, real issues in real time with your host, John Ngadi, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.
Good morning and welcome to Living Real Radio with your hosts, John Ngadi, Greg Walton. Robert Fiducia is not here today, but had a birthday this past week.
Oh.
Yeah. It's actually Thursday today.
Wow.
He doesn't celebrate him anymore once he's 50.
Oh, is that how it goes?
If you're 52, you're 60.
You know what? I'm not going to say anything, John. Okay. Anyway, this is Julianne Staley. And today, our guests are members from, the whole office of the Catholic Youth what is it called, Bill? Sorry.
The Diocese of Nashville's Youth and Young Adult Ministry Office.
There we go. Yes. I'm just used to CYO, and even though it's not called that anymore, I still refer to it kind of like CCD. Like I call it that, and it's religious education now. But anyway, I'm joined by my brother, Bill Staley, who's the director. Robert Strobel, who is a long friend of mine. Wow, like half our life. Oh my gosh.
That is scary.
He's the associate director. And then Libby Burns joins us, and we've become fast friends. Watch out, world. But she joins us. She's been in the youth office for 3-4 months now.
Yep.
But you were volunteering before that, too.
Yep, since January.
And so we wanted to have you guys on the show today just to talk about kind of what you do, how you got to where you are today, especially as millennials in the church. I feel like this is very new to see young people wanting to work for the church in just ministry itself without adding anything else to the side or doing it on the side. So I would just like to open it up by asking you guys how you came to be where you are in your positions.
Well, I wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't make a retreat in the summer of 2003 when I was a junior in high school going into my senior year. And it was one of those where my mother said, "You're going to this." I was voluntold to go to this retreat on Christian leadership. And from that point forward, I continued making retreats and enjoying the experiences offered by this office. And then I went out and got my degree and worked for a publishing company and wanted to be one of those rich CEOs. Until I came back and volunteered as an adult at that same retreat that I first went on. And that was 7 years later. And I volunteered, and the position was open in the office, and they said, "You should think about it." And I was like, "Nah, I want to get a Porsche. I want to be rich. I want to have all the money, be CEO." And I prayed about it, and prayer changes your heart. And here I am 10 years later in the youth office still and loving life. What about you, Robert?
So I grew up at a parish that didn't really have much youth ministry, and so my first experience with youth ministry wasn't until that same retreat that Bill was on, not the same exact year, but a few years later, and that retreat and a few others just kind of took my heart and showed me that there is a lot of goodness to be had in those kind of situations. And so I knew pretty early on that that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. It took a little bit to get there, and that's because I had to be worked on a little and get a active prayer life and be an adult in my faith. So as much as I wanted it, I played around in a few other jobs for a little while that I hated. And then Bill Staley called me about 4 years ago, said my predecessor was stepping out of the role, and he thought I'd always be good at youth ministry and consider just talking to him a little more. We had an interview. A day later, he called me, and I've been at the office almost 4 years now. I'm coming up 2 weeks to go on 4-year anniversary.
You left out the best part, though, of how you came and you gave a talk on being Shrek. You got to tell us more about Shrek.
So I was Shrek for a while.
Like the actual Shrek?
The actual Shrek, sort of. I wasn't allowed to talk. But I was doing valet work, and that's funny in itself because I'm a bigger guy, and I busted my knee and I needed a job quick, and my father just happened to have a connection at Opryland Hotel where they had a big experience with lots of characters and breakfasts and things, and I thought I was signing up for a job to kind of show Shrek around and make sure the pictures were being taken. And then at the interview process, the guy literally said, I think you'll fit in the suit. Why don't we go try it on? So I was rolled down a few hallways and taken to some random hotel room at Opryland Hotel and put on a Shrek costume, looked right out of his mouth. And for the next like year and a half, I regularly dressed up like Shrek and took pictures with children and families and smiled through the mouth every single time that picture was taken.
Wow. Did you always say better in than out? I always say.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I was not allowed to talk, though. They heard my Shrek impression. They said, it's better to keep your mouth shut.
Wow. So you have your Halloween costume all every year.
I wish. You'd be amazed. That thing is probably about a $70,000 piece of like equipment, head to toe.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they didn't let me keep it. The Kung Fu Panda that was also at the hotel did get stolen, and that was the most expensive one at like 110K.
You're kidding.
Yeah, wow. They never found it, which is just bonkers.
Does it have air conditioning in it or something?
It has a little fan up at the top of the head that was blowing. You know, so I got the beads of sweat right under my eyes brushed off, but that was about it. The rest of it, very hot.
Crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah. Sorry for that.
I was about to say, so Libby.
So Libby.
How did you end up in your position as coordinator? Because you coordinate the high schools and do a lot kind of running the whole gamut, but how did you end up where you are now?
Yeah, so I did not go on the same retreat they went on. I did go on retreats, but it was to see like the cute boys. But after I graduated college, I knew I wanted to work with kids. And so I actually became a teacher in the inner city in Nashville. And I did that for a few years. And then I wanted a job where I could combine my faith and my love for kids and teaching English. And so I found a job in Atlanta in a Catholic high school. I started volunteering at a church there with their core team and the youth ministry. And I helped with retreats and just was always around at life nights. And I was like, wow, this would be a cool career to have, but it probably won't happen. Then I got a job back in Nashville. That's kind of where my heart is. And so I was also teaching at JP2. And I went on the retreat that they are talking about, finally, as a 29-year-old in October of last year. And ironically, another person was on their interview in person for this job that I now have. And I was like watching what she was doing, watching what Robert was doing. And right after Bill took her to the airport, I looked at Robert and I said, I kind of want that job. And the rest is kind of history. So I didn't really know. I never wanted to be in youth ministry. I just knew I wanted to work with kids. And God kind of put it on my heart when I was a teacher. And so, yeah, that's how I'm here.
Wow.
Disclaimer, this retreat is not like a cult or anything. It's a really good Christian experience.
Yeah, I was about to say, we've talked about the Search Retreat and Youth Leadership Workshop a lot on the show.
It was founded out of here.
Yeah, Father Arnold.
Arnold.
He's a rock star. He went to San Mateo, California in 1968, learned about the retreat based out of the Curcio movement.
Yep.
And a lot of our Catholic adults here in Nashville, parents and stuff, have made Curcio. And it's a teen version of that, and it's a really great experience.
Yeah.
What's funny, though, is I wanted all of their jobs before they wanted their job. When we were with Chris Rogers in high school, Robert, I was like, man, I wish I could do that for a living. Robert's like, yeah, me too. And then Bill got the job a year before I graduated. And I was like, oh, that was the job I wanted. So I was like, I guess I'll be a teacher. No, I'm just kidding. Is that a similar retreat at Youth Leadership Workshop where I got an offer for an interview? But then whenever Brandon left the job, Brandon Quigley, before Robert applied, I was like, oh, I'd love to get the job to work with Bill, but I wasn't allowed because I was his sister. And so anyway, you still can't get rid of me. I'm still volunteering with you guys 10 years later, but
you'll get there.
One day.
Mm-hmm. When he becomes bishop or something.
Yeah.
Hope. I'm going for the top.
Yeah, you got to go. That's right. Put my smart different time.
Any baptized male.
Yeah. So we were talking beforehand, you know, about resiliency, that you wanted to talk about that topic with the young people and how they're dealing with today's issues.
Yeah. So we had the same camp that I went to that really sparked this in my life. We really wanted to have it this summer, but with COVID-19, we were, you know, we put it off for about a month and we were really trepidatious about everything and nervous. And then things got better and we're like, I think we can safely do this. And we followed all the precautions and it was really cool to see the teens' resiliency over that 3-day period, because when they first got there, this is them coming out of lockdown essentially. And just to see the psychological and the interactions that they had with their peers. At first, I thought we were doing something wrong. I was really worried. I'm like, oh, crap. We're not doing... Can I say crap? Sorry.
You can say crap.
Okay, crap.
It's an acceptable word nowadays.
Great. But the kids were like really frozen. They weren't reacting. Even at Mass that night, Father Fi came out and said Mass for us. And he said, with your masks on, you guys are like giving me no expression, but you guys are just kind of like frozen. Or he was making light of it, trying to get some reaction out of them. But then day two, you saw this gradual just, coming back to life, like almost like springtime. And then by day three, they were in full swing back to normal. And I think the world is needing that now. I think we're coming out of this, hopefully, God willing, from my lips to his ears. Let's get this pandemic over with. Let's do whatever we can to come out of this stronger than before. I think we will. But this, to see those teens' resiliency and continued resiliency as they went back to school this fall at our Catholic schools, it's just been beautiful. And so I just, my hope and prayer is that the world can do the same thing they're doing, because kids are beautifully, beautifully resilient.
Why do you think that is? I mean, I think that's over the centuries that the younger people were resilient. You think about days of, my parents grew up in the Depression. My father, they were older, and people coming out of wars down the Vietnam era, The young people seem to be resilient. Old people seem to be stuck.
Well, there's more brain plasticity, so that's part of it too, developmentally.
They're also lucky enough right now to have many ways of connecting with each other that a lot of people in the Depression didn't have. They only knew that their dad was upset, right? Yeah. In the Great Depression. But these kids, which I don't want this to be a commercial for social media, because I think we all know that what the benefits and the downfalls of social media are. But one of the great benefits is that they know that they're not doing this alone. Mm-hmm. And I hope that they have enough of that that's giving them a real sense of belonging to this generation that's going to be the ones who got out of COVID-19 and the ones that stopped being so divisive and the ones that did take that next step. And that's for the first time in history.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of less reservations than we have as adults and also more faith-filled. I think that they're a lot better than, at least I can speak for myself, I was in really putting my faith in God and kind of like what his plan is. And I know that sounds cliche, but when you see these kids and you see them worship, but you also see them serve, even despite the times, it really is just something different. And they get to hang out with us. So I have to think that that has to do with it as well.
Yeah. They haven't built up their walls yet. Like in scripture, it talks about having faith like a child. And when you look at Mary versus Zachariah and what happens to them, like Zachariah is like, there's no way my wife could get pregnant. Like she's old, but Mary's like, oh, sure. Let your will be done. And so just the comparison of the understanding of a child, she recognizes mystery and the power of mystery, whereas an old man is like, wait a second. And he comes around to it, but I think that's how...
Right. And I think that's one thing that as Christians, we need to step above it and not get mired in it. And I have political views, sure. And I have certain takes on movements and issues and politicians. But I think as Christians, we're called to a higher standard. When Jesus, they were talking about, the emperor on the coin and give to him what's his, and there's a time and place for Christians just to step up and rise above things. And I think we've done that over the centuries, but I think it's harder now. And I think it's like, we have to pause. And that's why I'm so excited for the election to get over, and I'm not getting political here, but just one thing I want to see people come back together and to be able to have differing views on things. And I know around this table, Robert and I've talked about it extensively. Julie and I have talked about it. We all have different views on things, but the one thing that unites us all is our faith.
It's hard for people today to see. If you don't agree with me, I'm cutting you off. Mm-hmm. What's up with that?
It's the cancel culture, I think, but it's also exacerbated by Facebook. That commercial, you guys remember that commercial from 6 or 7 years ago with the old ladies, and she's at her wall and she's like, I friend you and I unfriend you. And
it's not how any of this works.
Yeah, it's not how it works, but that's how we've applied it in our lives. Just last night, a former colleague of ours was railing against something I'd put on Facebook, and it was like, guys, like, it's like, why do you even have to raise a stink about this? We're Facebook friends, just live with it. If I post something, it's fine. Just don't get all upset.
Yeah, the posting can be problematic and create wars. I've just seen it So it's like, I don't even want to look, get on social media much anymore.
Well, and it's awful because how the ads and everything are structured is based off a logarithm that's only going to feed into your political views based off of videos you've seen. So based on a particular issue or party, that's all you're going to continue to see. So it just doesn't.
Well, I talked about it at our communications meeting this morning at the diocese. We've gone from, and I, this is my terminology, so I'm not a professor, but we've gone from mama's kitchen with our media exposure to a buffet. So when you were in your mama's kitchen, you got what she made for dinner that night. So when Peter Jennings came on ABC, you got his broadcast. But now with social media and with user-generated content, everybody, I just like this over here in the buffet, and I just only want to eat this over here. Yeah. And you don't take in the value of everything else.
Yeah. And that creates a lot of division.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids are, seem to be resilient against the division. Are you showing that they're not divided as adults are? Or are they able to deal with it better?
They're more tolerant than adults are. And obviously this is a generalization, so there's outliers, but I think that they understand that other people have different views than them. And I think that they're just more tolerant in general because they see the bigger picture. Whereas adults get so stuck, especially on like one Facebook comment, you see 80 comments of people, you know, popping off. And it's like with kids, it's like, yeah, you don't like this, but like we still have all these other things in common and they can see past it. So I'd say their tolerance is just higher for differences.
And I'd say it's not just tolerance, but I think they haven't been jaded and they haven't had a bad love situation. And so they can just genuinely love someone in a different way. A lot of adults have an experience and they say, well, this person believed this and I started to hate him. So now I don't like anybody that believes this, but the kids don't necessarily have that. Maybe I'm just redefining tolerance, but I think that there is the distinction of, I think it's easier for kids to love.
I agree. Mm. I think you're right. And I think also they're looking at the bigger picture of humanity, whereas adults are picking particular issues on how it would benefit them, you know, economy wise, whatever. They're looking at how it's going to benefit them as an adult, which is important, especially if you're looking out for your family.
Yeah.
But kids in general are like, wow, I can't believe somebody would think to do that. Or, you know, when it comes to issues where people aren't being treated right.
God made a straight line using a crooked path. Have you seen the sunshine through the rain? The road to heaven wasn't made without the cross. How can you learn to win if you've never felt alone? Tell me where you've been, and I'll tell you who you are. Have you lived outside your comfort zone? If you say you know the way, let me see your scar. Tell me where you've been, and I'll tell you who you are. There is redemption for a sinner on his knees. There are rainbows from the storm. Learning how to run doesn't come before you crawl. Take my hand and walk. I understand the fall. In times of devastation, in thunder and in rain, break the chains that bind us and know another's pain. The battlefield of life leaves wisdom as its scar. Healed with love and mercy, tells me. Tell me where you've been, and I'll tell you who you are. Have
have you lived outside your comfort zone? If you say you know the way, let me see your scars. Tell me where you've been, and I'll tell you who you are. Tell me where you've been, and I'll tell you who you are.
Listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Many people are spending more time at home now than ever before. Perhaps you are now working from home and need to turn that extra bedroom into an office. Or you are homeschooling your children and need to maximize the square footage in your house to make it happen. Let the experts at Closets by Design come to your home for a free, no-obligation consultation. From offices, closets, pantries, laundry rooms, and garages, Closets by Design can help you make the most from the space you already have. All custom units are made locally. You'll be amazed at what Closets by Design can do for you and your family. Right now, get 40% off their everyday low price and free installation. Call them today at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700. Or online at closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio. We have Johnny Gotti, Greg Walton, and Julian Staley, yours truly, here today with Robert Strobel, Libby Burns, and Bill Staley from the Youth and Young Adult Ministry Office. Did I say that right? At the Diocese of Nashville.
Yeah,
very good, very good.
So over the break, we were talking about jokes that we had and funny stories from youth ministry. And Libby, do you want to start off with your funny story? I mean, you've only worked for the diocese for a couple months, but you're already making a great
hey,
great impression.
Did you just
Robert's
make that
not
word
even
up
here today? Yeah.
Great. Everything's great.
Everything's great, you guys.
We're so glad you're here.
Sure. So, we weren't doing much because of COVID when I first started. So our HR director, our team, had a great idea to kind of make introduction videos for everyone who works at the CPC for new hires. And so Robert and I were tasked with filming everyone's introductions, which I don't know why anyone would entrust such a task to us, but they did. So we had a scheduled time to film the bishop because obviously he's a very busy man. And so we went in to film him. You know, he had his script and he wanted to do a couple takes and see what we liked and wording and whatever. And so he shuts off his lights in his office and the lights in his conference room. And so Robert and I think for sure he's, you know, jetted off to another meeting. And so Robert's rewatching the film and I was like, this is a great time for a dance break. And so... So I decide to stand in front of his conference room door and moonwalk. Little did I know he was coming out of the conference room and I was blocking him from getting to his next meeting because I was moonwalking. So Robert was watching the whole thing and I turned around and he scared me. So I kind of, I yelled in his face like, ah, and I was like, I'm sorry. And that was pretty much his first impression of me, I feel. So,
You're still working there.
Yeah. I mean, I told my mom, I called her, I was almost crying. I was like, I might get fired today. But she was like, I'm sure he just loved it. I was like, perfect. Hopefully. Oh my God.
That's awesome. I have a funny story. When I was first year or two on the job, I stand on the shoulders of many great people that came before me in the office, including a lot of great clergy out there. But one of the most influential people on my career has been Sally Corby. And Sally, if you're listening, I love you. And I won't say exactly what your age is, but I have to allude to it a little bit in this story. So we were at the cathedral at the time before we moved to the pastoral center over on McGavick. And we're in the cathedral and we got calls all the time, you know, people stopping by, homeless people looking for food or shelter. We had people trying to find a meeting. And this one day, that's exactly what happened. This guy comes in and we're on the third floor and there's three floors. And he comes up to us and says, hey, I'm looking for the engaged couples meeting. And we're like, oh, okay, we'll help you find it. It's got to be in one of these rooms. Well, this building had like, you know, 25, 30 rooms in it. So we start checking. So Sally and I decided to divide and conquer. And we say to the guy, you go down to the first floor, we'll do the second floor and meet at the other end. So Sally and I go into the second floor and we check a few rooms and they're empty. And then we find this big open room and the lights are on and there's people in there. And we walk in and we say, hey, is this the engaged couples couples meeting? Now, keep in mind, Sally is 48 years older than me. Everybody in that room's face, like they were like stunned and nobody moved. Nobody acknowledged and gave an answer to our question. They were all just stunned. And then it hit me and Sally just like that. And we looked at each other and finally we said, no, 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 we're not engaged. Everybody busted out laughing. But, you know, she was a cougar. I'm kidding, Sally.
Hey, just put a number.
Yes, yes.
God bless Sally.
What about you, Robert? Do you have any funny stories?
Yeah, so unfortunately, this one is at my expense, just like Libby's. And
I mean, I think it's his favorite moment of 2020.
Favorite moment? Your breakdancing? Mm-hmm. Most certainly. Most certainly. So this was at the start of my career in the youth office. We were at the March for Life, my first year, 4 years ago.
Yes.
And we had just finished Mass and a big rally with the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. And all energy is up and everybody's feeling good. And we go to walk to our next destination, wherever that was, and
we had to get the flags ready.
We had to get the flags ready.
We have a line of flags, Tennessee State flags.
And I collect like bumper stickers and stuff, and I saw on the ground pro-life bumper sticker. I'm like, this is awesome. It's right here. God put it here so that I would have one more sticker for the collection. And I bend down, and as I come back up or go down, I don't know, I slit the whole front seam of my pants.
And this is not like a 2-inch split. This had to be at least a foot or more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not what you want for youth ministry. And
in cold January.
In cold January in D.C. with 90 teenagers. And
amid 500,000 people.
And I just had to walk up to Bill and Julianne and my brother and sister and all the other adults and kind of own it, that I now had a giant rip in my pants. I was lucky enough that the flags that we had brought up were being assembled with safety pins onto the flagpoles. So there were about three remaining that I got to do my 10-inch rip down my pants. I got to pin them back up, sort of, and march and pray for the unborn with a nice little draft that day. So
wow, that was a glorious memory.
It was loads of fun. I was in the back of every picture, so if there were rows of people, I was in the back for one specific reason.
Well, and we're sitting there in the middle of DC. We can't move. You can't get a subway back to the hotel and get back in time. It was just, you had to live with it.
Just live with it.
So,
and what's yours, Julianne?
One that's embarrassing of me, or just an awkward situation?
Just an awkward situation, since, you know, we're talking funny moments.
Well, I have one that sticks out in my mind. Speaking of the March for Life, I think it was that same year, and that was just a pilgrimage of pilgrimages, to say the least, because we were all separated on different buses. Bill was captain of a bus, Robert was captain of a bus, and I was a captain of a bus. And so we each had like 50 kids on our bus. And somehow I ended up on the bus that had sick kids. And so there was a girl who said that she was sick that morning, and I was like, well, maybe you shouldn't go on the trip. She's like, no, I think it was just something I ate last night. Turns out it was a stomach virus she had. And so by the end of the trip, I think there were 8 or 9 kids on that same bus who contracted the same bug. So that was a not so enjoyable bus ride. But the worst part was, is I kept checking on her to see if she's okay. And in like our group text, I like texted her with a couple other girls, and I was checking on her at lunch or right before lunch. And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. And then 10 minutes later, she texted me. She said that she went in her pants. And I was like, haha, good joke. Cause I just checked on her. Yeah. I was like, no, really? And she goes, no, I need a new pair of pants. And so sure enough, we stopped for lunch a couple of minutes later, and I had to run into the Walmart to look for pants for a girl. Like, I just
in youth, Virginia.
Yeah. In youth ministry, you just don't know what's going to come up next for for your job.
That sound like senior citizen.
Yeah.
That was also the trip though too, that we are on our way back in Julie's bus with all the sick kids because we wanted to quarantine them, which has new meaning nowadays. Yeah. We wanted to keep them all in the same bus, but as we packed up and left DC on our way back to Nashville, we did not redistribute the supplies. And so Julie's like texting us saying, "Do you guys have water on your buses?" And I'm like, "No, I don't." And the other bus had a super abundance of like supplies, snacks, and water, and they're having chugging contests and everything. And Julie's kids are like the most dehydrated kids because of what they're going through.
It was terrible, yeah.
Yeah, and we found out like in Knoxville, we were like, "Oh, all the water's on that bus."
I still can't laugh about it yet.
Sorry.
It's fine.
There's always those funny things. It's good to talk about the funny stuff, especially now when it's all bad news. Every time you turn it on, everybody's so stressed out.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I can't even hardly turn on the TV.
That was actually one of the things at the retreat a couple weekends ago. The kids came up to me, and normally I like to enjoy myself on these retreats and revert back to being a child. So I have a few tricks up my sleeves, and I prepared for this weekend with whoopee cushions, everything. And I was like, man, it's only until a certain point where I know the adults are going to get frustrated with me, but let's see how long I can make it last with the kids. And this is like the most compliments I've ever gotten on my jokes. Like the kids came up and they're like, "Thank you for making me laugh this weekend." I was like, "Wait, really?" I thought they were just afraid, you know, intimidated by me, but they're like, "No, like we forgot what it's like to be in a group and laugh from being on virtual school or like having to be so strict with their seating assignments if they're in school." And yeah. I just never thought to laugh and just have a good time with people.
So it's your exposure to all the great dad jokes from Robert.
And you know, that was my next line. I was just about to thank you guys for,
yeah, you're welcome,
for all those jokes.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yeah. It's really all you.
Are you finding with all the difficulties, people losing jobs and all that kind of stuff, are you finding that affecting the young people at all? I mean, of course, we're here in Nashville. Other than the musicians who aren't working in the entertainment industry this town, I'm not sure where a lot of job loss is. I know it's out there. You see these numbers. I just wonder if that would be how does that affect a kid when his parents aren't working? And, you know, talked about resiliency. You know, I remember when my father lost his job, we were kind of oblivious to it for the most part. But I think today the kids are probably a little more in tune of what's happening.
Yeah, I started youth ministry right after the 2008 recession, and it was very, you could sense it there. There was a lot of kids struggling. Thankfully, I think in Nashville, we've been pretty isolated. Nashville has a super abundance of millennials. And so there's a lot of things that we have not experienced that other larger cities probably have experienced. But these kids, you know, the problems that they're going through, it's kind of interesting. And I'm not trying to air anybody's bad drama or anything, but the quarantine kind of made them go back to the problems of the 70s, 80s, and 90s, like all the stuff we used to get in trouble for in high school. They kind of went back to that. And it was interesting because social media for the longest time with Snapchat and TikTok and everything else, they're on Instagram, they dove into their phones. And that was the biggest battle we had in youth ministry, was getting them detached from that, you know, device and to be real and to be where their feet are. That was actually a mantra that we used at all of our retreats for a while: be where your feet are. But now kids are getting back into, you know, having fake IDs and sneaking out at night and, you know, that kind of thing. So wow. In a weird way, it's like nostalgically refreshing, but at the same time, you're like, wait, don't do that, kids.
Yeah. What about church going? I mean, since we're on a dispensation till the end of the year.
Yeah, it's an indefinite dispensation, and we actually brought that up in our meeting this morning with our chief operating officer. It's one of those things, we can't make a call here in Nashville. The numbers are going up one day, they're going down the next day, and it's kind of a roller coaster. But if kids have been coming back to church, I've seen a lot of young people. We have sold out our retreat, right, Robert?
Sold out our retreat for next month and the next month. So they are desiring it. I was talking to one of the kids at our retreat 2 weeks ago, and he said the one thing that's really helped him through this is being able to go to daily mass again at school. And it was something that he hadn't really put a lot of worth into until it was taken away or all but. And so to be able to get back into the school and back into a routine where every morning at 7:15 he can be at mass, he was beside himself. And I think that across the board, maybe we're seeing a deeper appreciation of the Eucharist and a deeper appreciation of that liturgy, because it was gone. And when it's gone, you appreciate it so much more. You don't, what is the, I wish I could recognize the good old days when we were actually in them kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think, I hope that when we get back to normal, they appreciate the good old days that we are in.
Yeah.
Every time we step into Mass.
Are you doing any kind of social distancing with the retreats and stuff?
Absolutely.
Just so.
Yeah, my favorite topic.
All right, Liv.
So we have masks, obviously, the same protocols they would follow in school. So they wear masks when they're not, except when they're eating and sleeping, of course. We have sanitizer in the gallons, literally. And so we are sanitizing every moment of transition. So anytime they really move, they're sanitizing their hands. And we social distance with sleeping. So we have reduced our numbers and so that there's enough space and beds for them to be distant and apart. We take temperatures every day, sometimes twice a day. I don't know, what else do we do, Robert? They fill out a COVID questionnaire when they arrive on the site to just your typical that you would fill out for work. Just, you know, have you had symptoms? Have you been exposed to anyone?
Have you had many kids reply yes to that? Because I'm starting to, and I called the parents in a panic last week, and it turns out it's just seasonal allergies. But the kids were like, well, I didn't want to lie on it. Like, I appreciated their honesty, but it caused a panic in me for a second.
The one that we had, he checked yes, and he left a written description of why he had checked yes, and it was an unrelated issue. But I really appreciated the thoughtfulness that went into this form that he probably didn't know that the diocese just created, and it wasn't like a legal, you know. That'd be the only thing. But usually there's a follow-up of, you know, this is why I experienced this. But
in the same breath of the whole COVID protocols and the worry about being normal and what the children want and how they can be resilient, I do want to point out last night we did have one. We had a leadership team meeting and we were going over all these protocols and saying you will have a mask at all times. And one of the kids did say, well, this retreat is about getting to know people. How do I do that if I can't see their face? And it was very poignant. Bill had already come up with the answer like 3 months ago. But it is good to know that they still are holding on to the good parts of our retreats and the good parts of our, and they'll roll with the COVID part as long as they can get an answer to keep that real part alive.
Yeah, and I have to shout out our kids because I go into the high schools at least once a week, and they are so compliant with the mask rule and everything. And I find that the adults just in different places that I've seen are a lot more combative with the rules. And so I also kind of, to your point about losing jobs and things like this, I think that kids are actually being the role models at this time and just doing what they need to do so that we can get out of it. But I just have to shout them out because we don't even have to tell them to keep their masks on. They automatically do it when they come to our stuff.
Yeah, I have seen that the kids are definitely can deal with discrepancies or differences and still be able to. But the adults, I mean, it's horrible. Yeah. Don't look at me.
I didn't mean to.
Oh, okay.
No, lots of adults are really pitching a fit over wearing a mask, and it's not a partisan thing from the church perspective. It's care for your neighbor. You know, that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
I might have it right now. I'll wear a mask and protect you. You know, it's not a hard thing that people are, you know, you're not being asked a difficult task or a painful, excruciating situation. Just wear the mask and we'll get through this and we'll be stronger on the other side of it for it.
Yeah.
So, being stronger on the other side, music carries us through some of these things. And so, Libby, tell us about your song choice.
Awkward transition. That was just a great transition.
That's
I know.
Great. So, I chose the song I Love You Always Forever by Donna Lewis. I think it came out in 1999, so I was actually 8. But this song holds a near and dear place to my heart. It's a song that ever since I could start talking, I would sing with my mom in the car when I was born in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And so every day from school, on the way to school, anytime, we would sing. But the funny thing about the song is that I would yell at her when she would sing my part of the song. And she would still mouth it. And I would say, like, I can see you mouthing it. Like, stop singing. It's my part. And if you know my mom, Debbie's a saint. So the other reason I chose a song is because, you know, when I think about resiliency and I think about how I ended up here, I wouldn't be anywhere without Debbie. So I wanted to dedicate the song to her. And it's a great song to rock out to. So, yes, that's why.
Awesome. our parents helping us carry through the difficult times and challenges growing up. And here is I Love You Always Forever, Donna Lewis. You're listening to it on Living Real Radio on Nashville's Hippie Radio 94.5.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio with Julianne Staley, Greg Walton. I'm John Angotti, along here with the staff from the Diocese of Nashville, the Youth Ministry and Young Adult. You do Young Adult too, right? You
got them
all. That's very good. Bill Staley running it with Robert and Libby. And Bill, what do you see on the horizon? What's the goals? What are we looking for coming the end of this year into 2021?
So along with our traditional programming, as it's been kind of altered for the pandemic, but one thing that we've emphasized, and when Libby started, it wasn't necessarily something she knew she'd be championing, but social media has really helped us. You know, we've had a 25% growth overall of our platforms and our presence as a diocese. And so that's really helped communicate with people, get the sacraments out to people, not literal sacraments, but you know, you can watch Mass, and it's been great for folks as they've quarantined and been through this last year to still connect with each other on the positive things. And so we see an increased presence with our digital media. That's something that's been brought underneath new evangelization is now part of my job, and so we're looking for creative ways to reach out to people. We just launched a texting service, so we have different things. So if you want to follow Theology on Tap, you can text 615-588-0010, text on tap, and you'll be getting updates for that. And we also have that for our youth programs and whatnot. So it's just communicating with people in creative ways. If we've spent, you know, the whole history of our office, 50 years in April, has been bringing people together. And when we're told we can't do that, it's like, oh, okay, well, we will figure out how to get the gospel out. The apostles did it, so we can do it. And we have cell phones. So we've been doing that. But what have you guys been up to, Robert and Libby? What's some things that you've really enjoyed or creative ways you've been innovative during the pandemic?
So we've been very busy. I have developed a girls retreat. To my knowledge, it's the first ever in diocesan history. Yes. And actually, your very own Julianne Staley helped me develop it. And so we're really excited for that to launch in January. I'll let Robert talk about the counterpart to that. And then we also launched a freshman retreat. And we had our first diocesan freshman retreat. The first one was in September. The next one's coming up in February. But it's just a 24-hour experience to kind of give the freshmen a chance to see what our programming is like, and also just to have an overnight experience that's not as overwhelming as some of our longer pilgrimages or retreats. And I'll let Robert chime in on his.
And so, yeah, we do have complimentary boys retreat coming in the spring. And really just looking forward to, have started outlining it and deciding what it looks like. But we've got a great host camp, is going to have some awesome ropes course activities and really challenge young men to think about what it means to be a young man in their Catholic faith. And then it can't go without saying that Libby has championed very well all of our social media. Our office is running a social media account separate from the diocesan one, and it's been a great opportunity to just be fun and let our personalities kind of shine through and goof off with the kids in the medium that they're using anyway, because Facebook for the Greater Diocese of Nashville is great, but Instagram is definitely more used for the younger audience. So between that, our texting programs, and just trying our best to invite when we can into the building and to still have face-to-face meetings have all been new, but been a lot of fun.
When this is over, it's going to be a big party. You know?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you talk about sporting. We just had the Titans in their stadium for the first time. You know, so that's been interesting to see sports come slowly back to life, and college football and whatnot. And
And I do want to make note that Robert said that the reason why the Steelers-Titans was canceled because the Titans were afraid to play the Steelers that day. They just weren't ready. Yep. You know, but their win this past week, you know, I guess that kind of gave them a little bit of encouragement.
We are feeling confident this morning. Because I am part of the organization.
You played really well last night.
Thank you. I worked really hard. If you didn't see me in the third quarter, it was because my son was fighting me to go to sleep. But
Yeah, and you didn't split your pants in the game.
I did. No pants split either.
You didn't wear your Shrek outfit.
I did.
Yeah.
That would be a good helmet, though. Probably.
It would be a good helmet.
Yeah. It could be intimidating. I was probably stood taller than Derrick Henry in that suit. So.
Yeah. Fun fact about Shrek. The name Shrek is actually a German word for terrifying. So you would have terrified the other team.
How do you know this stuff?
I look up weird stuff. Disney.
He's your brother. He's got all kind of useless information.
He's like a walking Wikipedia.
One day, Bill will be the patron saint of Wikipedia.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Of Wikipedia. That's awesome. That's great. Well, guys, thank you so much for being with us today. And Bill, I think we're going out with your song at the end here. I don't know what it is.
We don't have any songs. We just had the two.
Oh, we just had the two?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Well, when I was a kid, since Libby told this eloquent story about her mom, my mom, I didn't know modern songs existed. I just thought everything was, you know, the 1960s and 70s music, because that was my mother's era.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't know that, like, Britney Spears and NSYNC existed till about when I was 14 years old. I was like, what is this newfangled music? But she used to play this song, Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Yeah.
And she would play, and she said, now listen to this, but pretend like God's talking to you. So that's my song.
Awesome. Well, guys, thanks so much. Keep up the good work, and keep being funny, and keep bringing all the good message, and keep inspiring the young people. So, hey, Julian, anything else you want to say to your brother?
I love you, Bill.
I love you too, Jules.
All right, so here we go with Ain't No Mountain Higher. You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5, brought to you by Closets by Design. Go out and smile at somebody.
You've been listening to Living Real Radio, real issues in real time, with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Be sure to tune in every week at 8 a.m. to Living Real Radio. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.